Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with Los Angeles-based jazz singer Dan Olivo. His debut CD, Day by Day, is newly out in 2022, and we cover that, his life and music, COVID living, and more. Along with singing, he's also an actor that began his career performing in plays with his parents, Rocco and Maria, who in 1972 founded the Italian Theater of Arts in Los Angeles. He has been inspired by the likes of Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, Tony Bennett, Nat King Cole, and the great Harry Connick Jr. His first show he ever saw was the great Steve Allen. We get into all of this and so much more. Enjoy the interview.
Hi, Dan.
Hey, how are you?
What's up, man? How you doing?
Good, good. Very good, thank you. You know, thank you so much for this opportunity, and I'm enjoying this.
Absolutely, and I'm glad that I'm having a chance to talk to you about it. So, your debut, Day by Day, it's a pretty big deal when you have a debut coming out. So, talk to me about how it feels, even with, like, COVID easing up, chances for live music. What's the collective feeling for this release mean to you?
You know, it's just I've worked so hard on it for the past few years. So I came to music late in the sense where I went out and tried to get gigs. You know, I out of college, I studied saxophone in high school, thought about doing it in college, but when I got to Cal State Northridge, there were just so many great sax players. I just kind of got overwhelmed, and I grew up in the acting world with my parents, so I always knew that I wanted to do that, so I kind of just made a left turn and headed in that direction at that point. You know, I studied acting for a while, worked, I got together with my friend from high school, Ian, who's my musical director on the album and producer, and you know, we just started gigging for a while, and I just knew I always wanted to make a big band album like the guys that I love, you know, Harry Connick Jr., Frank Sinatra, Bublé, and it just became kind of out of reach because to, you know, get the resources to get 17 guys together in the studio, I wasn't there. So I asked Ian if it was possible to, like, make these arrangements with a smaller group, but give it a kind of a bigger sound, you know, with maybe like big band kind of horn lines and so forth. So he had never done anything like that before, but he gave it a shot. And when I heard the arrangements, you know, I was just impressed, and it just kind of motivated me to keep going and going this route. So you know, gigging with guys like Lyman Menderos and Kevin Winnard and Joe Bagg, and, you know, they eventually ended up on the album, but I just learned so much from them, and just, it just became possible, you know, it didn't seem possible at first, but then it was happening slowly, but it happened, and then, you know, here we are. So it's a great feeling, you know, to kind of produce your own thing and put it out there, you know, for people to, you know, listen to it and hopefully enjoy it.
So my next question is, what do you hope the listener gets from this? I mean, it's a big statement. It's your debut. What are you ultimately hoping the listener gets from it?
You know, I've gotten a lot of good responses from it, so I didn't know what to expect, but I'm hoping that they just enjoy the music and these musicians. Yeah, you know, just like acting, you hope to put stuff out there and you hope to get a good response and people enjoy it. And that's it. You know, I want people, you know, just to have fun with the music, or, you know, hopefully it didn't. What was most satisfying to me, to be honest with you, is I had a friend who's also a singer who kind of put his singing away for a while. And he said that it kind of inspired him to, you know, get back into the game. So stuff like that makes me feel good.
So, you know, you talked about kind of being in this world of, you know, acting and performing for a while. And I'm curious, going way back to your beginning, are you originally from L.A.?
Yeah, I'm born and raised here. My parents, my dad was born in Chicago, but went back to Italy, came back when he was 40. My mom was born in Italy, but she, as a teenager, grew up in Orange County. And they met in L.A. doing theater. My dad had a theater group. So I was just kind of always around it. And, you know, I didn't realize it at the time, but they did work with, you know, some people that became, you know, big stars. And so I've kind of always been around it. And they worked as actors, you know, blue collar actors, and did their theater. So it was just always a part of my life. You know, in high school, being a part of the jazz program there, that's kind of where I fell in love with jazz and standards. We would go to these competitions in junior high and high school with the jazz band. And before we went to one of the bigger competitions, Fullerton College, one of the kids in the band had brought in a videotape of Harry Connick Jr.'s big band. And that was the moment I clearly remember falling in love with this genre.
What was the first live jazz show you saw that really blew you away?
Oh, man. I don't remember the venue. I think it was early on in the Catalina Jazz Club. I could be wrong, but I remember my dad taking me to some venue in Hollywood, and it was outdoors, and it was Steve Allen playing piano. And I've never seen anything like that as far as this. So I clearly remember that. And I was really young at the time. But I remember just, I've never heard any music like that before. I grew up, you know, in the 80s listening to, you know, rap and hip hop and pop music. And that was kind of my first introduction to this music. And I asked my dad about it, and, you know, he kind of told me what it was. The Steve Allen concert that I clearly remember. As a teenager going to, you know, becoming a Harry Connick Jr. fan, I went to a bunch of his shows, and that's just really where I really fell in love with the big band sound. And, you know, from Harry, I started listening to a lot of Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin and Nat Cole. That's kind of, you know, where it began.
You know, the engineer for my show, his name's John Christopher, and he has a program called The Neon Beat. He plays, you know, Sinatra and the Rat Pack and Marilyn Mann and kind of the American Songbook. So this might be a crossover event for us. He may get his hands on your work, but he always, one year for Christmas, he loves Steve Allen, and I found an old LP and framed it and gave it to him. So every time we do our show in a studio, yeah, I always look up. It's kind of a sketching of him, an outline. But, yeah, we play him on the show, and Steve Allen's one of his favorite people ever.
It was a really surreal experience because my parents used to watch, like, old videotapes of Steve Allen, and just to see him live as a child, it was kind of surreal to me. And then I had no idea that he played music. You know, you see him as a host of a show, The Tonight Show, and stuff like that, and old footage. But so that's kind of it really left an impression on me.
Absolutely. So talk to me a little bit about how you kind of built yourself up. I mean, you've been around for a little while. How did jazz gigs begin for you, and how did you land at this point in your life with the debut?
You know, I went to the Beverly Hills Playhouse as an actor, and they really instilled in us of the concept of, you know, your career is not going to come to you. You got to go get it, and you got to build it. And it's always been tougher in the acting world because there's so many gatekeepers as far as casting directors and producers, and you can't really, you know, reach out to them in a sense unless you have some kind of representation. But with music, it was a lot easier for me to use, I don't want to say tactic, but that approach to just, you know, call up venues or call up places to play, reach out to event planners. It was a lot more accessible. And, you know, my work ethic really allowed me to go and create opportunities for myself. So just one gig, and then one gig leads to another. You start playing with great musicians. They recommend you, or you just hear about stuff. And I like to, like, you know, work as a community with other singers and so forth. So a lot of the singers that do what I do, you know, we're all friends. So we kind of cheer each other on and help each other. And if I hear about a gig that they're doing, you know, I'll reach out to them and vice versa. And we kind of help each other. And it's kind of been that way for years. Just that. And then as far as your question about the album, it was just, you know, these songs came out of the gigs that we do. So we would play, you know, we do a 3 or 4 hour, you know, restaurant gig, and we're doing, you know, 25, 30, so on songs. And you kind of get a sense of the songs that people are responding to, and also the songs that you just enjoy performing over others. We would do a song, and I would tell my partner, Ian, hey, you know, let's do an arrangement of this. And, you know, as far as Day by Day is concerned, it was just 12 songs later, and, you know, let's go make an album.
So what is it that you like the best about your life as a musician? There's obviously all kinds of different facets and parts of this that interchange with each other, but every day you wake up, what do you look forward to the most?
Well, you know, I do enjoy the challenge of like learning a new song, that especially the more, some songs come easy to me, and then there's songs that are a little more difficult. So I do enjoy the challenge of trying to conquer that song, though I may get frustrated with it. I keep doing it, and the satisfaction of performing that song, you know, it's kind of the same concept for me of making the album. It seemed kind of out of reach for me, but I just, you know, worked so hard to get it done that, you know, it just felt good to accomplish it, just to finish that project. And obviously, you know, I do enjoy the interplay with my musicians and, you know, having fun with them, having a meal with them and drink afterwards after a gig, and just the camaraderie. But really just the, you know, when you perform for a live audience, whether it's stage or singing, there's just nothing like that. You know, you can do film and TV and, you know, do that kind of work, but when you do theater or sing for live people, there's just a certain energy, and it really just makes me happy to do that. We just had my album release show, and it was one of the great nights of my life, just to be able to perform these songs that I helped create, these arrangements, and perform for people with a three-horn band, and just get the reaction that I did. And I enjoyed it. So it's that experience. The thing that music does to create that experience between, you know, you, the artist, and people, I really dig that.
So I guess more generically or more open-endedly, why do you love jazz?
I love jazz because, I mean, jazz, I love, that's an interesting question, because I really love standards because you can understand the lyric. You hear someone sing it, and you clearly hear the lyric. I do love other styles of music. I love Elvis. I love the Beatles. But clearly, like, you know, with standards, it's just the story. You know, they don't write lyrics like that anymore. And that's just what really appeals to me, is just, you know, these songs are timeless. They don't go away. And you know, I don't really get tired of hearing it. And I think it's kind of one of the only genres where you can take a song like Fly Me to the Moon, and maybe like thousands of artists have covered just that one song. I don't know a lot of other genres where, you know, that exists.
So if you could get into a jazz DeLorean and go back in time and see a dream gig, who are you going to go see?
Well, I had the opportunity to see Frank Sinatra before he passed, and I didn't. And I always regret it. But I would have to probably say Louis Armstrong. You know, I just think that, you know, that's just something I would have loved to see live, him performing. I think he's probably the greatest, one of the great entertainers of all time, as far as just, you know, he was there at the beginning of, I think, of this genre, and, you know, he went up to the 70s. So I would probably, if I had, there's so many, but if I had to choose, I probably would love to see what that was about live.
So let's say you have a dream tonight and you run into your younger version, maybe in your 20s, and you can give your younger version one piece of advice based on all of the wisdom you've gained over all the years. What would you say to that younger version of you?
Well, I would just say not to, like, get discouraged. And, you know, I'm a person, when I was younger, I would get discouraged a lot. And that would kind of prevent me from, you know, having success earlier on than I am having now. So I would just probably tell myself just to have the confidence that if you work hard, you know, things will happen for you, and just not to get discouraged easily. And just, you know, I would probably have told myself to work harder, you know, earlier on, to be honest.
Yeah. You know, now as you're promoting this album and the world's waking up, more live shows, what do you hope we all, like, hopefully retain and keep within us about the magic of live music?
Oh, man, you know, I hope people just go out and have a good time, you know, just, you know, I mean, like you said, you know, for a couple of years, we kind of just been stuck in our homes or whatnot. And, you know, I just want people to go and have time, and just, I hope they have the perspective that, you know, these musicians and singers and any artists work really hard at their craft, and that it's not an easy life, you know, for most musicians. And, you know, just to have that kind of thing in the back of their mind and that appreciation, and just to have a good time with it.
So everyone has a perception of you, your family, your friends, your fans, but ultimately you live your life. You have a perception of who you are. Who do you think you are?
You know, I think I'm just a great dad and husband who just loves this music. And, you know, just, I try to be, you know, nice to people and work hard. And I just think I'm just an average guy that just, you know, loves what he does. And that happens to be music and acting, yeah.
Dan, this has been great. Thank you for opening up. Good luck with the album, Return to the Stage. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, man. Thank you for this opportunity. And, you know, I hope we can continue to stay in touch somehow.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players and singers in Los Angeles, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. Thanks to Dan for his time, music, and story. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Dimino in the iTunes Store. Visit NeonJazz at YouTube.com. And for everything Neon Jazz, go to theneonjazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Day by day, day by day.
Neon Jazz.